The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
Okay. I guess I'm there. It's another one of those days with the headphones. I have nothing in my headphones right now, Jason. Now it's back. No, it's not you over there. It's a short in the cord. Anyway, all right. Hang on. I'm going to play with this and see if I can get it to work. Well, I can't talk to David Fiorazzo if I can't hear. All right. I'm going to hold it like this. And now I can hear. The Jerry Bader Show, 839, 1360-97.5, WTAQ. We're going to have to beg the engineer a little harder to get the headphone cords fixed. All right. We've got a lot to get to in the show. In this half hour, I do want to talk about the new proposal that Walmart unveiled yesterday and what has to happen now for this to get done. And it really has, at this point, nothing and everything to do with Mayor Jim Schmidt. We'll get to that, and just a lot of stuff. The political ramifications of John Doe 2.0 being stopped in its tracks again. Just a ton of stuff. However, we have changed things up just a little bit. Each and every Friday, we talk with David Fiorazzo of Wisconsin Media Check, which takes a look at media bias. And we had been doing that after 10 o'clock. We will now do that to start the show on Fridays at 8:40. So David joins us on the phone. David, good morning.
Hey, Jerry, good morning. Sounds like you could use a little duct tape.
You know, that you got it exactly right because there's a short in this cord, and I'm holding my thumb on it right now like this, and then it works. But we'll get through this segment, and then we'll get that taken care of. All right, let's start on your list here. The John Doe 2.0 probe plays heavily in what you found in media bias in the Green Bay TV media this week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there's two of them. There's two significant things to report about this. And the first one, of course, is considering all the stations in the market heavily covered the John Doe investigations, you know, surrounding Scott Walker's recall election, you would think that they would be interested in following up with all the reports, but that's not the case. For those of you that are just catching up with the story, in a ruling a couple days ago, a judge agreed with the conservative group, and the ruling was to put a stop to the specific investigations. But this is a big win for conservative groups and Governor Walker, so it was not, of course, reported in the media. And those who did choose to report it, WLUK being one of them, it was just not clear. It was confusing the way they reported it. The headline in the graphic read, "Investigation Blocked Conservative Groups." Now, you know, at first you might think that the story was that conservative groups did something wrong and were blocked. So we had to really pick apart that story to figure out what they were trying to say. And WTAQ did a great presentation of the facts, very simply, that the judge put a stop to the investigation, and he ruled that the probe is affecting the free speech rights and the Conservative Political Action Committee, Wisconsin Club for Growth. Now, the Fox 11 report also did not touch on the allegations that the John Doe investigation was being used wrongly to serve a political purpose. And also the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel actually did a somewhat fair report on it. So what we're saying is Democrats have sought to use this long-running probe to impugn Governor Walker's integrity and try to affect his lead in the polls as he runs for a second term. So the next development, of course, you know, was the district judge ruled that it was blocked now. So as you just mentioned, and this was a blackout specifically WFRV CBS 5 in Green Bay, you know, after the judge called it a politically motivated witch hunt, then an appeal was filed, of course, Wednesday, and it was blocked, which puts on hold the previous ruling for the time being. But CBS 5 did not report on the previous story, but when the ruling was blocked, WFRV did report on it. So we found that pretty interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, even hearing you walk through that, I will give them this. It is very complex, and it is confusing. So, yeah, what Judge Randa basically said, the John Doe must stop in its tracks. Then the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, immediately prosecutors asked, and this is where it gets confusing. I can't even say confusing. I'm so confused about it. This is where the appeal gets confusing. And you use the word block. The John Doe was blocked. Then the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals blocked the block. That's where it gets. And then yesterday, Judge Randa, and here's where a lot of the media got lost on this. What the Seventh Circuit Court did is say there was this small technical housekeeping bit that Judge Randa had to take care of. He did, and then he went back to his original order saying, it's stopped, it's done. So, yeah, it is complex, but as you said, some did manage to get it right. Then, in the time that we have left, there was one, and I actually took this up earlier this week after someone tipped me off that it was on WisMediaCheck.com. And that is the way one TV station reported the Democratic representative and gubernatorial candidate Brett Halsey's KKK hood stunt.
Oh, yeah. Well, as you know, you probably mentioned to your listeners already, he engaged in it was a publicity stunt. And he alleged, of course, he alleged that, you know, Republicans are racist. And, well, the interesting thing is he said he had this car full or trunk full of KKK hoods. He did not produce the KKK hoods as promised, nor did any of the stations see if he actually had them. So they took him at his word. But we were really struck by the fact that CBS 5 WFRB did not identify Representative Brett Husley as a Democrat when they introduced the story. So that was kind of interesting. Also, they omitted there's omission in a couple of the sentences. They said just the night before, he said he would pass out the hoods, similar to the KKK, to expose the racist policies of the GOP, but he never took them out of his car. He did say he received threats, but the interesting thing is some of the threats for him to back off was from his own party.
Yeah. Yeah, which they didn't mention that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I think they covered well, WIS Media Check covered well, that, they don't give a Republican response. They just let stand, basically, Halsey saying that it's that Republicans are racist. The other thing they didn't do, though, David, is this guy has a long history of really bizarre, not questionable, bizarre behavior.
Yeah.
And that little resume was left off the reporting, not just by one TV station. But well, I'm going to just say this. The guy's a nut. And his side knows he's a nut, which is why he got threats from his side.
Exactly.
Which, you know, so that part is very important, too. All right, I need to get to another topic, so we'll wrap up. But just remind folks, if they've got tips on media bias, what can they do?
They can go to withmediacheck.com, click on tipsters, and we are obviously looking for people to help do some analysis on some newspapers as well. So withmediacheck.com.
All right, David Fiorazzo of WIS Media Check, Wisconsin Media Check. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. 8:47. All right, I want to spend a few minutes, the roughly 7-ish minutes, 8 minutes that I have here, talking about Walmart unveiling its latest plan for a proposed superstore. Now, this is a quote from Walmart. It says, the new plan advances the city's vision for the Broadway Shopping District in downtown Green Bay. Before I talk about how this is different, let me say this. This now, whether or not Walmart gets this store on the Larson Green property, downtown Green Bay, is entirely up to the Green Bay City Council. In Jim Schmidt getting a look at this plan and saying he can't approve it, it's clear nothing Walmart does, short of doing a small store, will pass muster with him. I have started saying that putting Jim Schmidt on the spot, why is he opposing Walmart's mixed-use proposal, which it is. And if you look at the way it presents, it looks like a separate pharmacy. It looks like a separate food store and a separate retail store. It now fits into the Broadway motif perfectly. Further, they have carved out an adjacent 30-square-foot parcel that they would donate for a development of whatever the city wanted to pursue in the mixed use. They have broken up the parking lots. They have made this look like a series of stores with a brick facade that would fit in. Yes, the local media does listen to that segment, actually, that we just did. I happen to know that for a fact. The local TV stations do listen to that. Now, back to this topic. They have done everything they could possibly do, short of coming up with a smaller store. The response to this is so obvious. Eric Gabrielson, leader of a group opposing the retailer's plan for Broadway, said the concession of a 30,000-square-foot adjacent parcel was a pittance compared with the negative effects he believes the retailer superstore would inflict on the Broadway shopping district. Let me ask you now. And I ask this already. If Walmart were to put up three individual buildings, a pharmacy, a food store, and a retail store, would Gabrielson and all these other opponents, would they be okay with that? Absolutely not. You know why? Because the same name would still be on the outside wall of those stores. That's why. And it is obviously clear now that that's their problem. And it is clear to me that Jim Schmidt is willing to go along with that being the problem. I still believe he promised somebody this was never going to happen. It is now up, as Alderman Chris Wherry said the other day, it is now up to the city council to lead on this. When you look at the entire revamped Walmart offering the city rights to build over the new store's east parking lot between the store and the Fox River, calculating it would accommodate as much as 500,000 square feet of added development. And these are small changes? BS! This is so attractive now. If the city council does not act like the adult in the room and take the lead on this and pass this, then the citizens of Green Bay have to take a hard look because, again, Walmart, now they're basically donating space for other development. They're going to clean this property up. They're going to do all that. And how much the estimates on how much that would cost are anywhere from $10 million to $30 million. I think it's on the low end of that. But in any event, it's money Walmart's willing to spend that another developer won't. It's clear now that Jim Schmidt wants some of this property to be a civic, cultural, non-revenue-generating entity. Again, I believe he promised that to somebody, which is why he's willing to have the city assume the $3 million debt of the property. Damn generous of him with other people's money. But that's what he's willing to do. All right. Jim Schmidt obviously is never going to come to his senses on this. So we have to get past that. It is now up to the city council. This is mixed use. Even if it was just the Walmart store, it would still be mixed use. This now is clearly mixed use. And it would bring a lot to the tax base. It's going to generate revenue, jobs, and I believe peripheral development in the area. This is so clearly now about opponents hating Walmart. Not that a big box store isn't a good fit. They've done everything you could do to make a big box store fit. As for Rhonda Sitnikau, I believe that's how she pronounces her name. I got into it on this show with her. said skeptics would gladly consider one of Walmart's other prototypes for a smaller market size store designed for an urban setting. And she doesn't understand why they won't do that. Because they did their research and that's not what works. But when you're someone who doesn't understand the first concept of meeting a bottom line, look, Walmart thinks they're going to make a lot of money. And the reason they won't do that is because it's not just a food desert, it's a retail desert down there. And they know that. The greater good is served by a development on that property that will generate the kind of revenue, the kind of traffic, and everything else downtown that you would want. And jobs, some 300. And no, they're not going to close the other stores on the east and west side. That's not going to happen. All of this is so blatantly, obviously anti-Walmart, it's laughable. And that makes it anti-business. That makes the mayor anti-business. Although I'm going to have praise for Jim later in the show, because he is absolutely right about trying to lure the NFL draft here. I love that idea. I think the odds are long, really long. But I have no problem with him trying to do it. In fact, I applaud it. I didn't exactly like the way he handled trying to get a papal visit here, but I still applaud the effort. However, Jim seems to like the two in the bush versus the bird in the hand. He likes the pipe dream stuff, but when someone drops a present in his lap, he wants to throw it in the toilet. That's the problem I see right now. This is an outstanding plan. This does address all the criticisms of the proposal. Any reasonable person would see now that, I mean, forget the Walmart haters. Forget that. As someone who should do what's for the greater good for the city of Green Bay, this is a no-brainer now. It is a no-brainer. And Jim Schmidt obviously is not going to come around on this. So it is now up to the Green Bay City Council to provide leadership and, as Chris Wery put it, show that Jim Schmidt is not emperor of Green Bay. This is now up to the City Council to recognize this latest plan is an excellent plan. It legitimately addresses the concerns. It fits in perfectly with the Broadway motif and is absolutely the best option for that property. It is time for an adult to stand up, and that needs to happen collectively by the Green Bay City Council. So why are so many conservatives in love with Dr. Ben Carson? We'll get to that at 9:06. It's 8:56.
You have high standards.